Southern California Live with Wendell, Johnny Wendell, myself at the Patriot, KEIB AM 1150. Good to speak with you again after our lengthy hiatus. We have returned, myself and my cohort, who is now also a resident of the American Southwest. Mr. Johnny Venom joins us from Payson, Arizona, as opposed to Chicago, with renewed vigor, energy, frustration, and fury, but basic happiness that he is not wading through oceans of slush coming off of Lake Michigan. Mr. Venom, welcome back to the Patriot.
Thank you for having me again, JW. You were greatly missed. I hope all is well with you and the family.
We had a wonderful holiday. No complaints whatsoever. All is well. And how are you and yours?
Not too bad. I cannot complain either. Holidays being what they were. I got to meet my grandnephews again, so I'm very happy.
All right, very good. And I would suppose that your dad is still figuring out new and exotic ways of eating you out of house and home, despite his advanced age.
You know, he did not go to any of the Thanksgiving meals. Unfortunately, he was afraid to leave the house. I think it's because he's got dementia.
And he's now that he's displaced from Chicago, he's starting to get this level of anxiety starting to impact his life.
Right. He doesn't know anything either. I don't know where he's at. He thought maybe in case he had to come back home for something.
Right.
And I'm like, it's an hour drive from Payson to Phoenix. 20 minutes if you were my old man.
Right. He still drives at 94?
No, he doesn't drive.
Okay.
He hasn't driven in a couple of years. I'm just giving, But the thing is, so he stayed home, and we brought him back turkey, and it turns out when we got back home, he ate out all the lunch meat we had in the house.
He's unbelievable. He is a machine. Sir.
He ate weeks worth of pastrami. I don't know how one does that.
He is a bottomless pit of consumption.
Yes.
The midterms are over.
Yes.
We will have a new governor in California in January. Mm-hmm. Gavin Newsom is replacing Jerry Brown. And there's a lot of speculation as to what Newsom is going to be like. Now, as you are well aware, because we've discussed this many, many times, Gavin Newsom is my wife's former employer at the Plump Jack restaurant in San Francisco. So we've known Gavin for about almost 25 years. As somebody who has a little more perspective on the matter than we do, what do you think the main differences are going to be between a Jerry Brown, who's coincidentally 81-year-old man, and the 51-year-old Gavin Newsom?
From what I read, you sent me an interesting article, but I read some other stuff and I listened to stuff on the radio, because here in Arizona, we get a lot of, believe it or not, California stuff.
Good.
And, everybody's thinking he's going to go out there being the flamboyant opposite of Jerry Brown.
Right.
And I'm going to be a little bit of a contrarian here.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be as out there as people expect him to be. And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
He's seen the books. He's been on the inside. He understands. And
right.
He's talking to other people like Gray Davis.
Right.
And we all are expecting him to turn California into this progressive utopia.
Right.
But I suspect he is going to be, in terms of style,
right,
more out there versus the more laid-back Jerry Brown.
Right.
I don't think he's going to go for everything. In fact, I think he's going to surprise everybody, because I know he wants single-payer.
Right.
Some sort of health care. So I would watch and see what he's going to make for sacrifices to be able to afford this. He's going to try and be a deal-maker, because I'm going to tell you, he's going to build this up, because he's not planning on running for 2020.
Right.
But I do believe he's planning to run the election after that. And so he's going to
run for president, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
I think in what is it, 2024?
Right.
And so I think for him to do that, he needs a platform to stand on and say, hey, this is what I did.
Now, we know that in California, we are, like in a lot of states, facing the issue of having to pay for pensions for public employees. Yeah. And Newsom, having been the lieutenant governor of the state for a couple of terms, and the mayor of San Francisco, he's well aware of the expenses that we've incurred, that this can has been kicked down the road quite a while now, and that there's no more road to kick it down, correct?
Right. I don't think he's going to delay it any further, because you now are having the wave of retirees. He would like to. The political class would like to, but demographics are saying, not anymore.
Right.
Okay, so they got to deal with this. And I'm going to tell you something. I think he'll be the Democrat that will go to the public unions and say, listen, we will move heaven and earth for the current retirees
right.
to get the pension. But I want to set up a defined benefit. Is that what it is for 401ks or whatever it
that's
is?
That's right.
For future employees. Now he can get away with proposing or at least doing something and wrestling with this, because he's got a supermajority.
Right.
Okay, now the supermajority could work against him, saying, hey, we don't want to do this. We're a supermajority because of the public unions.
Okay, but they could also say this. We're realists on top of everything else. One thing that all of us want, that we believe is plausible, being on the left in California, and an awful lot of the newly elected legislators are a lot more liberal than the people they replaced in 2018. They may actually opt for the idea of, let's finally have an oil extraction tax in California.
Sure.
Let's get
sure.
rid of the commercial property exemption in Proposition
sure.
13. Let's try to raise another $7 or $8 billion a year without dipping into anything. Without dipping into a rainy day fund, for example, or anything else. And let's lay the groundwork for either bolstering pensions. They're gonna have to raise teacher pay, because it's essentially it hasn't moved in 10 years. They're going to have to do that. Okay,
yeah.
That's a must. Okay, there is that. They're going to have to figure out a way to end all the furlough day stuff, because that drives teachers and parents alike completely crazy.
He's not going to want to have scenes like you've seen in Arizona and in Kentucky and in Oklahoma.
He doesn't want strikes. Okay.
Again, because this is one of the pillars that has put his party in power. I think, though, he's going to be able to get this deal on pensions, some sort, in lieu of using the savings. I think he's going to try and get more money than you just mentioned because of his public option or single payer, whatever it is that he's going to propose for a health plan.
Right.
Even if it means killing certain things like the high-speed rail.
That's possible that may happen as well. There's not a great deal of public sentiment for that thing, you know. But I would think that if you were able to persuade Californians that for $6 or $7 billion a year you could have an opt-in to Medi-Cal at 55, say in California, it's only what, 7 years? That's not much. And people started going for it. That would be the first shot across the bow towards single payer. If you had, for example, Johnny, we got what, 41 million people in the state. And if you figure that between the ages of 55 and 62, there are 2.5-3 million Californians, you know, me being one of them. And we can switch to Medi-Cal via public option, and you get enough of us to do so. Plus, you get a State Bank of California, which administrates this particular program and this issue. You've got a major win if you're Newsom, because you've got people who are most likely to vote in an election, people in their mid to late 50s and early 60s. We never miss a vote, you know, that are happy that they are no longer dealing with Anthem or Kaiser, you know.
I'm glad you brought up the public banking, because I think that's going to be key, and I think we should watch out for that. Because that's going to be the glue that puts this whole thing together, because with a public bank, they'll be able to offer a deal to the public sector unions,
right?
Whether it be the teachers, police, whichever.
Yeah, there are a quarter of a million public employees in California.
Says, listen, you're going to go on a defined benefit plan, but it's not going to be the same as what Joe Schmo will get.
Right.
It'll be a hybrid plan, because what he's going to want to do is ultimately set up so when he can go to Washington, D.C. and says, listen, whatever's affecting these other states in terms of the money problem is not affecting us
right.
in terms of their pensions. So with that in mind,
yeah.
that gives me leverage, if I'm Newsom,
right.
to demand I want to opt out or at least keep the money that goes into Medicare
right.
nationally to go towards this plan.
Yeah, we want a Medicare deferral, which is logical and reasonable. Unfortunately, if you have a president of the United States who is morally opposed to something like that, could be a problem. Hang on, Johnny. Southern California Live with Wendell, 717. Stay tuned. Oh, yeah. This one brought the house down last night. Especially that ZGH joke. Never gets old. Southern California Live with Wendell, as opposed to me. 722 on the Patriot, KEIB AM 1150 with our good friend, Mr. Johnny Venom. We are talking about the differences in style and in substance between the outgoing Moonbeam Brown and the incoming, his hair is perfect, Gavin Newsom. LA Times and San Jose Mercury News, Mr. Venom, say, well, that we may be looking at an almost Kennedy Camelot-like era in Sacramento with Newsom and his beautiful family and stuff. But I would suspect that one facet of Newsom's governorship that is going to be different than Moonbeam Brown's is that Gavin recognizes that social issues that don't cost the taxpayer any money tend to be winners in California. That you would say that is an accurate statement, yes?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, we know, for example, that in California, marijuana is legal. Okay. I was playing a gig last night at the saloon in Joshua Tree, as I do every 6 weeks, and I sat with some folks, and we discussed the marijuana thing, and they did not know that the former Orange Man himself, John Boehner, the Oompa Loompa, is a lobbyist for the weed industry. You knew that, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So they said, do you think that, you know, does this mean, you know, his orange brother-in-arms, Donald Trump, is going to legalize marijuana? And I said, with Sessions out of there as attorney general, I can see Trump legalizing marijuana. He probably figures it's a no-loss for him. And I would figure that Newsom may do something along those lines. Marijuana already being legal here, the issue of same-sex marriage having been settled ages ago, I would think that Gavin Newsom may go the Switzerland route in California. Do you know what I'm getting at?
No, please go on.
Okay. Years ago, when the heroin epidemic was ravaging Zurich, Switzerland, which is the largest city in Switzerland, the chief of police set up safe houses for junkies to inject safely.
Yeah,
and they've done this
in
Vancouver, Canada, too.
Yeah,
and they found that crime dropped about 80% as well, and overdoses dropped to near zero in Zurich. In fact, the rate of active drug addiction dropped, too, because with the lure of being an exotic criminal having disappeared, a lot of people decided they didn't want to do this anymore. So I would not be surprised if Newsom, you know, because this was a big deal for Beto O'Rourke as well, said the drug war is lost. It is a public health and public safety issue. You know, we don't want to be like, you know, the middle of the country where they're ravaged by drug overdoses. And they do exist in off the coasts in California when you go inland. Why not set up safe injection sites, harm reduction sites? That's the kind of social issue that doesn't cost anything that makes you look bold and daring. Do you think that his hair is perfect, the governor-elect, may opt for this, Mr. Venom?
Well, while Camelot originally didn't have dogs with Twitter accounts,
right?
They were forthright in saying that certain social issues would push crime. And right. I think Gavin Newsom, decades later, sees this. Again, I'm going to harken back to our previous topic regarding the public bank.
Okay.
For him to pull this off, okay, injection sites aside, you know.
Right.
Let's talk, because there's two topics. There's marijuana and there's the injection sites. I believe the injection sites, no doubt.
Right.
No question. He's going to pull that off.
Right.
And he'll get the money for that very easy because it's low cost. I mean, you could easily find a lot of places where they're abandoned.
Right.
They could retrofit.
Right.
Okay.
Of course.
I think, though, regarding marijuana, again,
yeah.
And going back to the previous topic, you have to look at the public banking because, as it were,
right,
the industry needs a good banking solution, and right now they have an ad hoc one.
Right.
And I think if the Bank of California, I'm just going to call it that. I know there is one, but that's not a public
bank. I'm going to derail you right now, you know. It isn't the Bank of California wouldn't be the issue. The issue is will the federal government eventually overrule on all transactions on the idea that this is an illegal activity, ergo is money laundering? That's why marijuana's got to be legalized at the federal level fairly soon.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt it has to be.
Yeah.
But if there's a Concord strike between the manufacturers and the distribution network and the bank, that you have to keep all this business inside the state.
Right.
Okay, that means any equipment, because you don't want to have the federales given an excuse. Oh, you bought that piping for the grow house in Missouri. It's our federal case. So what would happen is they would begin an initiative. I don't know if it would be the state or the local industry saying, we have to Californiaize. I can't think of a better word. I'm so sorry.
That's fine.
Of the industry.
Right.
That way, any future federal official can't say, oh, you use something outside your state. Now it's our problem.
Right.
And so once they do that.
Yeah.
And you couple that with a public banking until legalization happens.
Right.
That's how you're going to see it come forth.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So those are the no-brainers. What will be difficult for him to pull off, theoretically, would be single payer at $400 billion per. Okay, that would be very, very expensive to do. Okay, given that California's budget is about $132 billion as is. That's three times the size of our budget. That would be very difficult without a Medicare waiver. And if you're Donald Trump, the last thing you're going to do is help Gavin Newsom do anything in as much as your son is dating Newsom's ex-wife.
I'm gonna disagree with you here.
Oh yeah, you
I'm
think
gonna
so?
Say it because I think Newsom is smart enough to pitch it in a way that says, "If you let us take care of this, California's off your hands." And there's nothing more that Donald Trump would like is to not worry about California, not send any money to California. Bada bing, bada boom on that situation. And I think Newsom is smart to pitch it that way versus we want to take that. We want to take. How about?
Yeah, it's our money. We want it. Let us keep it.
Right.
Sure. Okay, Johnny, that's our cue to stop talking. We will be back shortly, however. This is Southern California with Wendell at the Patriot, KEIB, AM 1150. Stay tuned for more of me and Johnny Venom. Hang on.
Well, he was a wealthy fellow.
Oh, he certainly was.
They called his wife.
But she wasn't. Southern California Live with Wendell at 7:36. I don't think so. Joined by Mr. Johnny Venom himself. He has returned. He walks among us. Sir, welcome back to the Patriot.
Thank you, Gene Derry.
We went through hell on earth this month with wildfires.
You did.
Our state, according to various government agencies, is going to suffer considerably in the future, the result of exacerbated climate change. And from the Los Angeles Times, what we're looking at is more disease, worsening droughts, bigger wildfires. The biggie, of course, is drought. Higher temperatures have intensified the severe drought in California, amplifying the drought in the Colorado River Basin. Okay. In the last 18 years, Johnny, Lake Mead on the Colorado River has fallen 130 feet and lost over half its volume. Okay. the reduction of water volume in both Lake Powell and Lake Mead increases the risk of water shortages across much of the Southwest. Okay. The conditions of Native Americans on reservations have become almost impossible to live on. They're developing new adaptation and migration strategies. They may end up deserting their reservations. Johnny, it is fascinating to me that 97% of scientists say climate change exists and human beings are exacerbating it. And yet, so much of this country is determined not to believe this is true because the other 3% of scientists are paid by the fossil fuel extraction industry to buttress claims that man-made climate change and a heating planet, in fact, don't exist. But we in California, we know things have changed considerably. Used to have maybe one wildfire season a year. Now we have four or five. We had only one break in the drought the last 7 years. Things have gotten to critical mass. Do you think Gavin Newsom is going to do anything to address this?
Well, there's only so much he can do.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, I mean, he could do something about the nearby acidity increase in the water by California. I think with regard to the wildfire, this is also a symptom of the housing crisis.
Right.
Because we have stretched out civilization to places that I know a lot of these places were developed within the past 40, 50 years.
Like Paradise was up
like
in
Paradise
County, yeah.
Right, you know, and Paradise for me strikes particularly personally because I live both in a drought-prone area and a wildfire. I mean, Paradise could be where I'm living at right now.
Right, in Payson.
Situation.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So, but I think it's going to come back to restricting growth.
Right.
In terms of building houses way out there.
Right.
It's sort of like with the floodplain. Eventually, you have to make it uneconomical for these folks to keep going back there. Now, I know a lot of people, sadly, who lost their lives, and then we have people who just are not going to go back.
Right.
But what are you going to do, though, for people who still need homes? And we talked on your show about building a whole new city in the middle of this area north of you.
North of the Grapevine, yeah.
Right, right. You know, but, I mean, that's really got to be the penultimate of this. And then we have to refocus back on how do you make the current areas more open to more housing.
Right.
To more development versus
right.
keep expanding. It's almost cancer. It is cancerous at this point.
Right.
In terms of climate change, California really can't do anything. Okay? Because they're already on the forefront, the solar panels.
Right.
Like, I mean, the whole spiel.
Right.
But there's only so much one state can do. And you're going to have to start getting not only the federal government, but California's trading partners. Okay,
right.
Why can't the state mandate Apple and all these other companies that do so much business with China?
Well, the Chinese climate change is profound for them. You know,
it's a dog and pony show too. They make these promises and they say we're doing these things.
Right.
But when you look closer, I'll give you a perfect example.
Go ahead.
Solar power.
Right.
They become the leader in solar power manufacturing.
Right.
But the way they go about it, is poisoning their rivers and such with chemicals that have to go into this. They talk about, for example, we're going to use reduction in fuel, and then they don't. They just lie.
Right.
I mean, they try to score brownie points when, in fact, yes, they have shut down a lot of coal power plants.
Right.
I'll give them that credit.
Okay.
But at the same time, the entire country looks like New Jersey.
Not all of New Jersey looks like the refineries. Come on.
You know, where was that flaming river? That whole country.
The Cuyahoga River. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The Gobi Desert is now on the borders of Beijing.
Yeah, I know. And it's encroaching at what, like a mile and a half a year or something like that?
You would need China to cut back from the supposed 6.5-7% growth to American levels. And they're never going to do that. The Indians are never going to really It's, I hate to say I'm a pessimist when it comes to the good climate change.
Right.
I think we're going to have some sort of global calamity to stop the whole thing and restart the whole
thing.
What
kind of global calamity are you talking about here?
Well, for starters,
yeah,
the ocean.
Yeah.
Something as simple as the oceans. They're not drying up, but the acidity level is increasing, and you have areas that were once teeming with life.
Right.
There's nothing there now.
Right.
And eventually, that whole food chain, like in Asia, they're seafood eaters.
Right.
Besides, you know, certain agricultural products. Most of that is disappearing. Yellowfin tuna or bluefin. I keep getting too mixed up.
Right.
Have disappeared. I mean, it's the same thing sort of like on the east coast of the U.S. and Canada. There was a time when the fisheries in Canada, the cod, you couldn't, you know, you swim in that water out, bumping into a cod. And then it got to the point where in 1993, 98% of the cod were gone.
Right. And plus they were overfished out as well.
Right. You're
yeah.
seeing this in Vietnam with the Pangeas or whatever they call it, the tilapia fish here.
Right.
They got so many different names here. You're seeing the same thing with basic food. I mean, look at, we eat a lot of meat.
Right.
The planet, the middle class of China will have is the same population as the entire U.S.
Right.
And they want beef.
Yeah, they do.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, here's the striking thing. The grain that those cows need is getting harder and harder to grow. Now, we talk about only, you know, a bunch of morons believing only the 3%. But you talk to a farmer
right.
in the Great Plains, and they're not the skeptics
that right.
these other people you see on Fox News.
Right. No, I mean they know. I mean, if anybody knows that climate change exists, it's farmers. Or ranchers. They recognize differences in patterns. They know it's real. You know, I mean, who knows better that climate change is real than the Saudis, who are worried about, you know, eventually the peninsula is going to be 115 every day for 8 months out of the year. You can't live in a place like that. That's the end of us. We have to do something.
Everybody was talking about this report on the economic collapse. Problem they're going to be this with climate change.
Right. And hundreds of thousands of people dying from this.
But you know what? You know, this is not exactly news because the Pentagon issued a similar report a decade and a half ago.
Yeah, they did.
That says, what was the, right after 9/11, you know, they ask you, what is the number one security risk to the U.S.? They could have said China. They could have said at the time Al-Qaeda, because there was no ISIS at the time.
Right.
You know, they could have said North Korea. They could have named Iran. No. What did they say? Climate change. And they listed why.
Yeah, they said there will be desperation. There will be food shortages. There will be wars over food shortages. Yeah.
Now, Russia, you have parts of Russia that are frozen.
Right.
That in 50 years will be viable growing areas.
Right.
And who is that? But the problem is those viable growing areas are bordered to what country, Johnny?
China.
And who do you think is spyballing that land?
China is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I mean, what, you know, you have...
They cited that.
Yeah. They can, as far as the Chinese are concerned, you know, Putin is a cash on the barrel head jack type guy. You know, let's set up Chinese farms in what will be arable land eventually in Russia. Why not?
You have Chinese from Harbin, China. In fact, the late Anthony Bourdain was in this part of Russia
right.
Years ago.
Right.
And he noted that it's mostly Chinese.
Sure. Yeah. It's amazing. It's what Genghis Khan couldn't do. Pure dollars and cents are doing. Are you sure you're all right over there, sir?
I have sinuses. I do apologize.
Well, I have them too, but I mean, you know.
Right.
Phil's got them, but he's not hacking in my ear right now.
Well, I got
he will, though.
Now happening.
In tune, no less. Yeah. No, it's amazing. You can play Flight of the Bumblebee on his sinuses. It's incredible. yes. So, okay. So, the main issue, though, with us in California is our population is going up, but our infrastructure isn't becoming more efficient, and we are still in drought. what are we going to do to increase the amount of water that goes into California and eventually Nevada and Arizona? Well, you're going to claim desalination, right?
That's right.
Believe we can desalinize enough of Mother Pacific to turn California a deeper shade of green? You believe this? Why?
I think if they go to Israel, who has mastered this technology.
Yeah.
And they help turn the Sinai, which is not even part of their country.
The Negev, not the Sinai.
Right. Yeah. Excuse me.
Sure.
Into that's part of Israel.
Yeah, I know. The Negev is the desert on the Sinai Peninsula. But anyway, go ahead.
I mean, anything is possible.
Sure.
And I think we can implement this in California. In fact, I'm willing to bet you they can improve upon it because I know that all that brine that gets built up.
Right.
If you're telling me they cannot find many uses for this brine, I'm telling you. In fact, the state of California, if it was smart, it would find a way to use it to sell it to meatpacking companies.
We'll become the world's number one exporter of cured meats, right?
No, just the chemicals that go. What I'm getting at is the water is right there.
Right.
Okay.
Sure.
You're not going to get it from the Colorado River.
No, it's down 70%. Yeah.
Okay. It's going to come from the Pacific.
You really and do you believe that Gavin Newsom has the cojones to go to the taxpayers of California and say, I want a $50 billion bond issue to build three largest desalination plants in the world, say? San Diego, Los Angeles, and the Bay Area.
I don't know if it'll be done during his governorship, but I know this. You're going to go through water shortages just like Cape Town. In Cape Town, South Africa,
right. They've
had to literally cut back water usage by 50%.
That they have.
Okay. Yeah. Are you going to tell me the average Angelino is going to tolerate more than a half a dozen of these before they say, get it done?
Yeah, well, we have had droughts before, and we have had all kinds of shortages before, and we've had water rationing before.
Not like what's coming down the road.
All right. Well, you know, you'd be surprised for a bunch of shallow, facile, glib people that we're relatively tough, hardy, and resourceful here in Southern California.
No doubt.
Can you hang on through the break, please?
Sure thing.
Very good. Southern California Live with Wendell at 7:50. We shall return. Oh, yeah. Southern California Live with Wendell and Johnny Venom. I'm Wendell. He's Venom. There is no middle ground. At 7:55 for this abbreviated segment. Interesting legal development here, Johnny. New York State judge has rejected Trump's claim that he can't be sued because he's president. He surely must know that Bill Clinton was sued as president of the United States.
That goes out the window when it comes to the other party, apparently.
Well, Trump's family attorney says that a case against the Trump Foundation can be sued. Supremacy clause of the U.S. Constitution suggests a sitting president can't be sued. But Judge Scarpula, Sally Ann Scarpula of the State Supreme Court of New York, rejected the argument. He says it prohibits state courts from exercising direct control in a way that interferes with federal officers' duties. But the allegations raised here don't involve any action taken by Trump as president, and any potential remedy would not affect his ability to take care of federal duties. It is interesting to me that the very same people who couldn't wait to sue Bill Clinton 25 years ago are wigging out now.
Yeah.
What do you make of this? The Attorney General of New York is laughing. She says, we detailed in our position earlier this year that the Trump Foundation functions as little more than a checkbook to serve his interests. There are rules that govern private foundations, and we intend to enforce them. So, there are rules, and we're going to make these people play by them, president or not. Do you think that this, given that the Democrats will have subpoena power in a few weeks, and this decision here, that we are going to see in 2019 an awful lot of stuff come to light that the American public may not be prepared for in terms of the scope of what could be criminal activity, for example.
I'm sure there will be stuff coming out. As to whether the Democrats act on it is a completely different story.
Right.
Because I think the Democrats, ultimately, you want to go for impeachment.
Right.
If there is no hope in the Senate, and then they're not going to pursue, they'll take them. They'll
right.
do whatever they can to make sure that when he runs in 2020 that this is hanging over. I think you and I can both agree on that.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't think they're going to pursue the impeachment to that point.
No, a story came out this morning that Alan Dershowitz, the attorney, who tends to be very pro-Trump and very anti-Robert Mueller, that Dershowitz has said there is stuff that is likely to come out in Mueller's report that will be extraordinarily damaging to the president. If Alan Dershowitz says something like this, it means that there is probably something incredibly serious.
Let me be clear. Is that really a hard revelation to come up with?
If you're him, yes. it's completely out of character for him.
Okay, out of character, yes.
Yeah.
For everybody else, you have to figure, how many times have we got the man was a money launderer or something?
Right,
like that,
right. Yeah.
You know.
Go ahead.
No, I think something will go out. I think the cry for impeachment will rise. But then the Democrats have to be smart about this and not put all their time on this versus saying, hey, we can use this as leverage to get things we want.
That's
and
correct.
When the time is right, then you slip the knife.
Southern California Live with Wendell. We'll talk to you next week, John. Southern California Live with Wendell at 8:06 on the Patriot KEIB AM 1150. Joined for the next two segments by Mr. Mo Kelly of The Mo Kelly Show and his producer, Mr. Tawala Shah, my former producer. Actually, Mo was my former producer for a while, too.
Yes.
Yeah, well, when we were KTLK in this very room. Sir, we have not been on together in about 4 or 5 weeks. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's accurate.
All right, so we have not been on since, let's go back a ways, the midterms. We have not discussed what happened in the midterms, your take on the midterms, then we'll get to the wildfires and this insanity in San Diego right now. But let's start back a bit.
I would say absolutely nothing happened which surprised me. It didn't surprise me that Stacey Abrams lost in Georgia. It didn't surprise me that Andrew Gillum lost in Florida, regardless of all the other extenuating
right.
circumstances. It didn't surprise me that the Democrats took back the House or that the Republicans gained in the Senate, given the map going into the election.
Right.
So nothing really surprised me.
Were you alarmed in any way, shape, and form by what appeared to be electoral shenanigans, especially in the state of Georgia, where the Secretary of State was running for governor and running the election at the same time, and mysteriously voting machines and their power cables were disappearing all over African-American neighborhoods in that state?
Only alarmed in the sense of that's business as usual if
yeah,
we look at
is.
The history of it. And you want to, I mean, how many sporting events, since we always talk about sports,
right.
how many sporting events can you have one of the participants also be the referee and umpire?
Right. Approximately none of them, yes. You know, none that professional bettors would not say, I don't think I'm going to put any of my ducats down on this one today.
Right.
You know, unless I'm absolutely sure of how he's going to rule on, oh, I don't know, everything.
And despite all that, it was still relatively close.
Oh, yeah.
Which says to me, if he was not Secretary of State, or if he didn't purge 1.3 million voters because of unmatched signatures
right.
or
even
that type of...
Although the courts ruled against him, as it turns out.
Right. I'm just saying, but those types of things, then it probably would have changed the outcome of the election. But it's Georgia.
I mean,
Alabama senatorial election, Roy Moore was still close.
Right. Yeah. It was within 22,000 votes. Sure. And this race in between Hyde Smith and Espy in Mississippi, Hyde Smith should be walking away with this thing by 20 points. And
absolutely.
They're within 4 or 5 points of each other because she keeps making one mistake after another. Even in Mississippi, and Tawala, I think this is like a truism. the kind of thing that you could nod and a wink and dog whistle on 25, 30 years ago, you can't do that now when nearly 40% of the electorate in Mississippi is non-white now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, I mean, she can't afford to alienate enough, you know, white voters who look at the stuff and go, we're tired of being like the laughing stock of America with this stuff.
The question is, will that minority will they turn out? Right.
Right. Question on the issue of the midterms as relates to us in California. It appears that probably this Wednesday afternoon, it is speculated, the 30th of November, in the 21st district in California, T.J. Cox, who's a Democratic businessman, is likely to go ahead of David Valadao, who's the incumbent Republican. This is east of Fresno on the 21st, right? This would be the seventh House seat the Democrats would flip in this election. That would be a record in this state. As of this moment, there is not a single Republican representing L.A. or Orange County.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you make of this? Y'all are a native. You know, I'm new here compared to you. You grew up in this area. You know it like the back of your hand. What has happened in Orange County that it is orange all the way to blue?
I don't know if it's all the way to blue.
It's pretty close.
No, I mean, when I say it's all the way to blue, I think as of this election it is.
Yes.
I don't know if that's going to hold through 2020, if only because you have you have Democrats who have taken these seats, but now they still have to govern. And are they going to govern as a full-blooded Democrat, or are they going to try to acknowledge there's some still red in their districts?
Sure.
You know, are they going to be a senator like Doug Jones in that regard?
Right.
Where you have to be acknowledged, you have to still acknowledge that, okay, my constituents aren't all the way blue, so I can't necessarily go with Nancy Pelosi, assuming she becomes Speaker.
100% of the
time. Right.
Okay. However, if you have, like, in the example of districts like Daryl Issa's, mm-hmm. Mike Levin wins. Okay, beats Diane Harkey down there. He beat her by 10 points. When they asked Daryl Issa, why are you retiring? I mean, you've been there forever. He said, my district has changed. I will not get reelected there. I am retiring.
And when you look at the landscape in Southern California, the turnout this year for the midterms was higher than it has been in years.
Since 1974,
Mo. In years.
Okay.
That alone to me, and this is a conversation we constantly have, Johnny, where we say, are the people going to come out?
Right.
They came out, and they, in Orange County specifically, especially in a lot of the areas where you have high populations of Filipinos,
right,
who are just like, you know what? The Republican who right now is siding with Trump, they're siding with some really nasty language that we are not going to be a part of.
Right.
And we are going to show you our voting power right now in your backyard.
Okay. What do you make, though, Mo, of the idea that we are looking at a situation where our congressional delegation to Washington is going to be 46-7? Okay. That would make California de facto the bluest state in America. Admittedly, there are states that do not have any red representation
right
at all. Massachusetts, where I'm from, being one of them. Okay. And New Jersey is now down to, what, 2 or 3 Republicans out of 15? You know, the question is, how did we become such a blue state? When I moved here in 1989, this was a red state.
Well, the demographics have changed. The types of industries which have come to California and industries which have left California,
I think have
shaped the demography of this state.
Okay.
Immigration has shaped the demography of this state. It's not one thing. I would say it's a number of things, but the trends are going to continue. So I would also be concerned if I were a Republican with the census, what that is going to then portend as far as whether California gets another 2 or 3 representatives because of just numbers of people within the state.
And guess where they'd all be? In Southern California.
Hello.
The northern part of the state has stayed the same population-wise. We have not. We've exploded. It does beg an interesting question. Our nearest demographic brothers in the United States of America would happen to be the second largest state in America, which coincidentally is the polar opposite of California. For example, in California, the most powerful and popular political party in California is the Democratic Party. Second, independents. Third, Republicans. In Texas, Republicans number one, independents second, Democrats third. Why are they the opposite of us when, demographically speaking, they are also a minority-majority state? White folks are only 47% of the population of Texas, like they are here. Why are they so much different?
Well, we don't have a shared history. I mean, I think there is such a thing as a cultural evolution within that state.
All right.
Texas has been red a long time. I don't care about an Ann Richards, respectfully, but I'm just saying, in general, Texas has always been red.
Right.
And their cultural thinking has been red. And yes, the demography has changed
a
great deal, but that doesn't change the culture of the state in the way that California was already blue-leaning, if that makes any sense.
Or purplish.
Purplish, yes.
Okay. The question is this, though, on the issue of Texas becoming more like California. Exit polls told us that Beto O'Rourke won native Texans by 4 or 5 percentage points over Ted Cruz. It was people who had emigrated to Texas that put Cruz over the top. Texans themselves preferred Beto. Okay. Wouldn't that tend to indicate that Texas's red lean comes in a lot of ways from people who emigrate there in order to be in a redder environment, say?
I guess so. If we want to talk about the cultural, or I should say the political affinity of Latinos, I don't perceive Latinos and Hispanics as being as blue nationally as many commentators would like to allege
they are in California.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. California.
In California.
Yeah.
But in Texas, no.
And that's never been the case.
And in Texas, no. I mean, in Texas, as Mo was saying, the culture, black, white, Asian, Latino, you tend to lean Republican, period, just by proxy of being in Texas. Most of my relatives in Texas, they will argue me down on all types of conservative stuff where I'm like, I cannot talk to you. I cannot believe that we are related. We will not be having any more discussions.
Where do they live?
In Dallas.
They live in a city, and they're black folks.
Yes.
Okay, and they're conservatives.
Yes.
Why?
Because the Republican Party has done right by them. You guys are just all up on the Democrat. They've done nothing. I swear, I hear so many just straight Trumpisms. I just go, I can't have a conversation anymore.
Mo, what do you make of that? Why is it? I mean, we know, for example, that Beto carried both Dallas and Tarrant counties. He carried Dallas and Fort Worth. No Democrat has carried Fort Worth in years. Okay. So, Tuwala's relatives notwithstanding, do you see that maybe Texas is now starting to evolve a little? We know, for example, they're not happy about how high their property taxes are.
They are, okay? But I would not mistake Beto as being indicative of a cultural shift yet. I would need to see more than just Beto. If anything, Beto serves as the exception, which at this point would prove the rule, not necessarily say that the rule has been changed.
That the politician of that kind of skill still couldn't win.
Right.
He didn't have the numbers. They did flip a couple of seats, and they came close on a couple more.
Right, and if anything, he demonstrated that he has a national appeal. He can fundraise nationally. He has value to the party beyond the state of Texas.
Do you believe, the most recent polling has shown that the number one most likely Democrat to head their ticket in 2020 by poll acclamation is Joe Biden. Bernie Sanders is second. Beto is third. Kamala is fourth. Okay. Do you believe that is solely out of Biden and Sanders being recognizable from being in the public eye as long as they have been and Beto being a relatively new phenomenon?
Yeah, I think so. And if anything, Beto is probably going to be the considered as a VP, not top of the ticket. You can have someone who has the name recognition, who has the pedigree, who has the experience to be able to maneuver and navigate a presidential election cycle, and then you put on Beto, it's home run from there.
I would disagree. When we come back, we'll talk about this. Southern California Live with Wendell, 819. Southern California Live with Wendell at 824 with Mo Kelly and Tawala Sharp of the Mo Kelly Show. Mo, we got a conflagration on our southern border.
Is that the word that you would use, a conflagration?
Yeah, I'm trying to be charitable.
Yes,
here.
That's very generous.
What would you call it?
Put it this way. The Super Bowl riot after the Eagles won the Super Bowl was much worse than what's going on at the border right now. I'm being serious. When you shut down the busiest border entrance
in the world,
right, and you have 500 people there who all of a sudden have nowhere to go. It wasn't like they were trying to sneak in, you know, by land, by sea, or by air. They're coming at an established border entry point to ask for asylum, and you all of a sudden say, as they are right there, we're closed. What are they going to do?
They're going to try to figure out a way in to have their day in court. Yeah.
And that was the whole point of Trump shutting down the border then. He wanted that to happen.
He wanted it to be a confrontation. He wanted it to be a Steve Bannon wet dream in which the people that love Trump and believe that America is becoming too brown, he is shutting down the border and reversing history. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he wanted it on TV. He wanted the tear gas. He wanted the images of individuals trying to fly over the wall and scamper and crawl through and go up against. He wanted that so he could say, see, you see, it is an invasion. I told you it was coming. I warned you. And it's like,
what kind of invasion is this?
You started this. You can't start a fight and then say, see, they're fighting back. You cannot do that, dude. You can't do that. It's ridiculous.
How dare you knock out my teeth? It's like, well, you know, you threw about 8 blows at me. I mean, I'm sorry that I knew how to parry all of them and I broke your jaw and all, but you did start this.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So that's what you would make of this, Mo.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we were unable or unprepared to handle hundreds. That's all there were.
Right.
Hundreds of people who were asking for asylum.
Right.
They could have been held at the border. I mean, there were more people that they were
already. But he wanted a riot on television.
Yeah, they wanted. That's all they
wanted. It looks wonderful. Mm-hmm. Look at these barbarians. Look at these savages.
They're rapists. They're coming. They're hopping the wall right now looking to rape. That's what he's saying. This is ridiculous.
It's almost like it's like the Mongol hordes climbing over the Great Wall.
That's how he sold it.
Yeah, but there's a bunch of Honduran children. Yeah. Like little kids, babies have tear gas in their eyes.
Women with backpacks with children in their hands. I'm like, really? This is the image you want to show?
You know, like these women with Dora the Explorer backpacks on their backs and their kids crying because they have tear gas in their eyes, not because they're not eating.
I mean, we're skipping over the obvious part of this. This is before the whole fight for the funding on the wall that Mexico was supposed to be paying for.
He wants that
image out there so he can say, see, I have to have this wall.
Uh-huh.
You must give me the money for this wall.
Uh-huh. Does he realize that the keepers of the purse strings starting on January 3rd are not amenable to this particular idea?
And not up for re-election for another 23 months.
Not to mention the fact that they're Democrats, and Democrats by about a margin of 5-1 are against the border wall.
Yeah.
So they're not going to give him any money. I don't know why unless he's willing to make an awful lot of concessions for it.
Which is why he went about earlier. He tried to prep us and say, I think it's about time for a shutdown.
Yep.
Remember, he said that just 2 weeks ago, was it? That he was like, I think it's about a darn time that we have a shutdown. Like, how do you just put that out there, dude? Like, what kind of leader are you?
Yeah, we have, a government shutdown tends to precipitate or aggravate what condition endemic to Wall Street, Mr. O'Kelly?
Well,
what kind of market?
Well, I would call it a bear market.
Yes. But, yeah, I was going to say Yogi Boo Boo or a furry gay man.
We haven't touched upon the fact of where the market was headed even prior to this moment.
It's not doing very well right now, no. Yes, volume was low last week because of the holidays, but it still went south. It didn't go north, you know, and you are approaching it going under 24,000. All right. This is, in effect, we are seeing things kind of slow down a bit. What do you think happens in 2019? We get 25 seconds left.
Recession, stock market goes down to 22,000. We get the result from the Mueller investigation. All hell breaks loose.
What do you think, Tawala? You got 10 seconds. Knock yourself out. Ditto. I'm afraid I'm going to have to agree. When we come back, though, I will have some good news for you. Southern California Live with Wendell. It's 8:30. Stay tuned, please. Yeah, Southern California Live with Wendell. That's me, Johnny Wendell. The Patriot, KEIB, AM 1150. If you are returning from your long weekend or your week away, please be careful. If you are leaving Christmas shopping, please be careful. The roads can be treacherous places on this Sunday night. Everybody's hankering to get back into their normal rhythm for the next, 2 weeks, and then the Christmas stuff starts. No, it's longer than that. 3 weeks. Thanks to Johnny Venom. Thanks to Mo. Thanks to Tawala, Miguel, and Phil. And it is 8:37 on the Patriot. I promised you good news, and good news you shall have. Very, very interesting thing happened last night. As I told you in the last hour, I went out to the desert and I played my show that I do every 6 weeks now in Joshua Tree at the Bar and Grill out there at the entrance to the park. And as I'm finishing up, because I do this, instead of doing two 55-minute sets with a 10-minute break, I'll play for 2 hours and 15 minutes solid. I know that to most people that's craziness, but it's difficult for me to get on and off the stage, and I have plenty of songs, and I play what other people want to hear a certain thing. I'll do it. So we had fun last night. The promoter got up and she sang Oops, I Did It Again, the Britney Spears song, with me. It was very spirited and very bad, but we had a wonderful time. Anyway, my time ends there. I'm putting my stuff away, and the sound man for the group that came on after me, it was a three-piece band with two singers, a soul group doing Ray Charles and Aretha Franklin covers. I'm seeing him approach, and I recognize his hairstyle. It's like, I know this guy, but he looks different for some reason. And then when he's close enough, it's Durr. Durr is works in the club a lot. He promotes events, he plays in bands, and he mixes some of the groups. But what I didn't recognize about him was that he was standing completely straight, and he had no tremors because Durr had come down with Parkinson's disease. But I'm looking at him, and he's standing tall. He's relaxed looking. And I said, what's up with you, man? You're different. And he said, Johnny, I've been doing stem cell treatments at this clinic in Palm Springs. And he said, I'm about 80% recovered from Parkinson's. I saw that disease wipe out older people when I was a kid. They'd start twitching. And then they would degenerate to the point where they had no control over their bodies at all, which was likely to have been Durr's fate as well, except for the stem cell regeneration. He stands tall. He doesn't twitch. And he's confident. He told me that he was so used to having to balance himself from the disease that sometimes he'll put himself out of balance now that his equilibrium has returned. And I just was marveling at it. I just said, you're back. It's like you have come back. And he said, yeah, I have. He said, it's fantastic. You know, I wasn't sure. I didn't know what was going to happen with me. But he's going to be okay. And I thought, you know, it is remarkable that on Friday, I was in line at Vaughn's getting some food, and the bagger was telling the clerk that she could do all of her Christmas shopping while she was checking us all out in line. She could, on her iPhone, she could buy everything that she wanted. And she was, you know, just saying, I can't handle that kind of thing. You know, she's an older woman and shaking her head. And the bagger said to me, he goes, well, you know, I can't say as I really like technology much myself. He's a young man. You know, he was younger than Miguel. You know, Miguel's, you're 26, right? Yeah. And he's like 22, 23 years old. And I looked at him and I said, I don't know where you get that idea from, man. I said, I love technology. I think it's amazing. I want to know something. I ask Siri, I look it up on Google. It's not something that we fight over all the time. And the very next day, I run into somebody I've known for years who is recuperating from what used to be an incurable, untreatable degenerative illness. I remember that the first real treatments for Parkinson's were injections of drugs about 45 years ago, and they just stopped working. But stem cell is a different thing. And I have another friend who moved out to the desert who I used to work with at the LA Weekly. And he's going to start going to the same clinic in January for his condition. I guess all of the sheaths on his nerve endings have, via a degenerative illness, are fading. And he knows Durr. And he said, you know, it's a miracle. And he says, and it really gives me hope. And also he worked out a barter agreement that to do a promotional film for the clinic, he's getting 80% off of his treatment. And he's excited because this illness that he's had has been agonizing for him. And instead of being this kind of like a hyperactive, wiry guy that worked all the time in the movie and television industries and, you know, would work at the LA Weekly with me, he's become this desert hermit because his body is failing him, and he believes that this is his best chance to live out the balance of his life as a relatively normal man. And I think we do so much complaining, and we get so angry, and we get so frustrated with the things that are absolutely wrong with the way our lives are, that people gravitate towards negativity, or they gravitate towards hatred instead of love, and they gravitate towards battling as opposed to peaceful coexistence. You know, things that would save us so much grief and aggravation if we would just, as the old song from the 1940s goes, accentuate the positive, if we would do this, but we don't. Maybe we just like to spread our misery around. But it is true that all of this stuff exists, and it is also true that people are starting to panic a little on the state of the health of our planet. You know, as what we're seeing from reports from the Department of Defense and the CIA and other esteemed government institutions that are saying that thousands of Americans and billions of dollars are in peril because the planet is becoming too warm to be peacefully inhabitable. And it's scary to an awful lot of people. And it's scary that there's so many of us. It's scary that so many jobs and occupations are going to be taken over by machines. I saw the other day, Miguel, I don't know if you saw this or not, that there was a news story out about people no longer being or needing television remotes, what we call clickers in our house, remotes, because they are working on a program where you can tell the television what channel you want in your head. You can think it. Have you seen this? Have you? It's remarkable. They're actually building the technology that silently, via telepathy, you can make a command, and you know you'll get the Southern California Live with Johnny Wendell on your iPhone, or you'll get
it's pretty cool.
New season of Better Call Saul. And now we have Mr. I Must Weigh In on Everything.
I have to weigh in on this.
Interjecting his two cents. By all means, derail my train of thought.
Well,
go ahead.
Here's why. I have ADD, so every time it reads my mind, it's going to change the channel on me. Forget it.
You know what's remarkable is we have this terrible drought in this state. But we shouldn't have a drought because you're capable of raining on any parade 100% of the time. Now, I know you can't think this and you're going to actually have to do this physical action, but if you'd be so kind as to tap the off button on your microphone, don't think it, do it, because your ADD will turn it back on in 15 seconds. Thanks a lot. Why do I allow this sort of thing? What I'm trying to get at here before I was so rudely... and typically, it should be pointed out, interrupted, was that so much positive stuff does exist if you want to accept that it's there. I think it's remarkable that ailments that were a death sentence during my lifetime are not even remotely fatal anymore 90% of the time. It is true that way too many people still get cancer, and it goes into remission, then it comes back. That's bad, but stem cell could be the answer. It is terrible that my mother lost her mind and then lost her will to live, and she passed away. Had stem cell been more advanced, it might have reversed her dementia and her Alzheimer's. Believe me, the clock is ticking. I hope it works. But there's good stuff. And I know, look, it's the holidays. I've been communicating with a lot of you online and stuff. And I know that the level of desperation is high and there's a lot of loneliness. And people feel really awful about the wildfires wiping out so much property. And over 1,000 of us in California are going to have lost our lives from this stuff. And it's bad. But we will pull together, and we are a hardier lot than people give us credit for in this state. Yeah, we're the land of fruits and nuts, but we're tough fruits and nuts. And I think that if you open your eyes and see around you that not only is the glass half full, but it's filled with happy, shiny juice that you can drink if you want to. And I don't mean in terms of getting loaded. I'm not suggesting that I'm making an analogy to alcohol or whatever. I'm just saying that there's a lot of joy in the world if you want to indulge, if you want to see that there are miracles that are happening all the time as opposed to there are tragedies that are happening all the time. Look, this last November was very, very difficult on me. My mom died, I'm an orphan. My father died, 11 years ago? My mother died 3 weeks ago. I'm all by myself in terms of parents and the like, I have to look at life as I'm no longer anybody's son. I'm completely a free being, I suppose, at this point. But I don't feel like this was unnatural. Or this is something that I'm going to ruminate for and milk every drop of sorrow that I can out of this. When I can look around me and I can see life. When I can see people who were looking at constant degeneration and a long, slow, arduous, miserable breakdown, and to have it arrested. And to be, for all intents and purposes, reborn as happy, healthy, physically capable human beings, then I'm thinking that is something to give thanks for. So on behalf of Durr and Joe and people who just may live out a really cool existence after all, happy Thanksgiving. In the traditional sense of the word, not the holiday. When we return, we'll wrap this bad boy up. Southern California Live with Wendell 850.
Dye your hip pink, paint skulls on your toe.
Southern California Live with Wendell at 8:56. Before the show started, my erstwhile staff and I were debating the possibility of investing in tickets for the May appearance at the Rose Bowl of the Rolling Stones. Oddly enough, the oldest of the three of us, by a considerable margin, that would be me, expressed the least amount of desire to see a band that I've been familiar with for almost 54 years. My coworkers showed much more interest in seeing this venerable institution, beginning with Miguel. Assuming you are listening to me right now, I can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
You are. You're 26 years old, and you have seen the Stones live. That's something I've never done.
Yeah, I saw them back when they played at the Staples Center.
About 5 or 6 years ago.
2012, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. And you enjoyed the show.
Yeah, from what I remember.
Even though you weren't on hallucinogenic drugs.
No, this is. There was a time where I was a square.
Okay, all right. You were an L7, and you still went. And you, mm-hmm. Who opened the show? Do you remember?
No, it was just them.
Just them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just them.
And Phil, of course, is older than Miguel. Not quite as old as I am, though. In fact, he's equidistant.
Yeah.
You're right in the middle of us age-wise. Okay. And you're kind of considering the $300 investment to go see this group at the Rose Bowl, not exactly the most sound-friendly place in the world. Why?
Mick Jagger.
You want to see Mick jump around at the age of 76 like a maniac.
If he's going to do it, I want to see it. I saw them for the Steel Wheels tour, like back
1989.
In 1989, yeah, and he was amazing. Now, that was a long time ago. But
where was this?
This was in where the heck was it? It was probably Giant Stadium or one of the
It was
the
them in Living Color together.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. And you enjoyed the show?
Oh yeah,
they were considerably younger back then.
Yeah,
I gotta tell you, I've loved the Rolling Stones since I saw them when I was 8 years old on television. Okay. I liked them better than I liked the Beatles. You know, I thought they were cooler, you know. But for whatever reason, I've never been able to bring myself to go all out to go see them live. And I mean, at this point with the four or the three original Rolling Stones plus Ronnie Wood plus bass player plus augmentation. You know, even Ronnie is over 70 at this point. It's just a little too much for me to watch what is, in effect, a tribute band. Admittedly, you know, 60% of it is original. But I can't bring myself to want to see him that much. C'est la vie. I think they're playing May 12th or May 13th at the Rose Bowl. Tickets went on sale Friday, or this coming Friday, maybe. Enjoy if